Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Good to see Larry Boy here.
Yeah.
Always a blessing to see you come back from out of town or come back to your old town, I should say. Yeah. But anyways, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you so much for each and every one here today. I pray for a special blessing on Bobby and Glenn's dear friend, and I pray, Father, that you will bless her. I pray that you will bless Chase and Brianna as they're here. What a blessing that is. And just continue to let us see your hand and your work in our midst, in our lives. And may you be honored and may you be glorified. I pray that you will carry your word this morning. I pray that you will manifest and reveal yourself through it. I pray you'll feed our souls, that when we leave here today, Father, that we will truly have been in your house and know it by your spirit, know it by the word that you have fed us with, that we would be full. Father, we ask that you honor this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we're continuing our series of messages entitled Masterpiece in Progress. And there's a two parallel picture here. One is that there's the overall masterpiece of God's redemptive work, which involves you and I as individual believers in Christ and how he's shaping us and building on us and making us what he wants us to be. Stephen made it plain this morning. He said, God will complete his work because that's what God says. So when we're with the Lord, the work that he did to make us into the people that he wants us to be in him will be completed. What he says will be. What did I hear the other day? It was a song at the college. The first group, Lily of the Valley, some dance group over there, Friday night. And it says, what Jesus says, no one can say no. And so, you know, if he said it, it's going to happen. It's going to be, and no one can deny that. And so we can praise God for that. We've been continuing in our study on the master artist, who is Christ. And he's taking the non-believer who has come to know Christ as their Savior. Now they're a new creation in him, became spiritually alive. And then God begins to shape them and mold them and to make them through their backgrounds and experiences into what God wants them to be. Kind of like a multifaceted diamond or precious stone that's been cut and polished in different ways to reflect the radiance of that stone. God wants to reflect the radiance of himself in and through every believer in Christ. And so he's in that process, and that's where we get the title of the series of messages, Master in Process. He's in the process of developing our lives, shaping us and preparing us for what is one of the most exciting things is his calling on our life. He has called us not just to salvation, but he has called us on mission. He's called us in his body to be that functioning part of the body that he wants us to be in and through him. And so it's important that we recognize the calling on each of our lives. And I know that many of us will alienate ourselves from the term our calling because we don't feel like, you know, we're called because we're not professionally called into the ministry as full-time ministers or as prominent leaders in the church like deacons and teachers and those type of positions or whatever. But all of us are called to represent Christ. All of us are called to live out our faith in him. All of us are called to utilize what God has equipped us with to use for his glory and his honor, which we're going to look at a little bit later. So Christ is that masterpiece, and he's building on us layer by layer. If you see in the picture there, that picture is it's a type of artwork, and it's called, you see, impasto layering. Okay, that's what that type of layering look. You can see the roughness of it. Some artwork is very smooth. This has heavy oil paint laid on top of it. And that particular picture is entitled Gibraltar, the Rock. And it's a contemporary impression of impasto. All of it's put on there, applied on there like a palette knife. And I can't say the author's name very well, at least the last name, is by Anna Maria Idulesco. I couldn't help but think about Stephen and Debbie's house. They have some really fine artwork in their home. And there's one picture on the first floor that I always notice when I go out. And it has the impasto artwork on it to bring out the depth of the leaves on the trees and all the specific colors in each one of the applications there. And I say that because you and I are specific colors, if you will, of application to God's masterpiece, because as we as believers, we're in the body of Christ, and he's putting us all together to make us into the bride of Christ, which is glorious, which is glorious. And so you can see the counterpart between masterpiece and the bride of Christ and all the people in Christ coming together. I want to look at this a little bit more closely in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that's to beg you, literally, to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. I mean, Paul's made it plain in Ephesians to the Christians at Ephesus and to you and I today, the living word of God says, I am beseeching you, I am begging you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. That tells me that that was a need back then, just as it is today. You've been called, now I'm begging you to follow your calling, to do what God has called you to do. Verse 2. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. I couldn't help but think about this lady, oh, probably 40 years ago that I ran into. And she had been recognized and honored by the church as being holy and sanctified. And I know it was a different denomination of what they were looking at, but God says here that we are called and we are to behave ourselves with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. We're to be humble people, but we're to be strong people in the Lord, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The only way that we are going to be the people that God wants us to be, being made more complete this side of heaven in ourselves, is by how united we are together in Christ. Our development in Christ is so much more enhanced when we are united in a purpose, working together for God's kingdom work, personally connecting with each other, personally ministering to each other, personally letting people in our lives and being in people's lives, personally being integrated together with the different qualities of who we are in Christ and as individuals to build each other up, that will, in essence, bring forth a greater effect of the body of Christ. If I had taken the impesto art and put it on the picture and put a blob over here and a blob of oil painting here and a blob here and a blob here, but they never connected, but they made some sort of a pattern, it does not have the effect that it does of a masterpiece intersecting together. And that's what God wants to do. He wants us all to intersect together in such a way that our gifts, our talents, our abilities, both naturally and spiritually, as he has given us, are to be used together, and that we're to endeavor, make an effort, because it is an effort, to act in the character of God or to behave in the character of God. And to keep the unity is a challenge. God says, we must endeavor. I am challenging you. I am begging you. I am laying out before you that every day in your Christian walk as a body of believers, you will have the challenge to keep the unity of the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, the unity of the Spirit together in the bond of peace. So God is commanding us to do this because he wants us to be a people that are bonded together in love and peace and that it will bring glory to him. Verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Number one, we need to remember we're all on the same page. We're saved by grace through faith, right? By faith, baptism, right? We have the same Spirit of God, the same baptism in Christ. We have the same Heavenly Father, and we are all called of God. And I think that brings us to a place where we can focus on one another as a family of God right here, but also as the universal body of Christ, Christians around the world in our lifetime now, Christians of other churches, if you will, that are of Christian faith, that if we have the same Father and the same baptism, the same faith and the same Spirit of God, we need to remember that in that we are to pursue that unity of peace and love amongst all of us, that we're not separate, because as the world sees us more together, the more effect will be the body of Christ in the world that we live in. If the world sees us separate, resisting each other in that unity together, then we are only defeating some of the work that God wants to do in and through our lives. The Apostle Paul seeks to encourage all of us as Christians and the Christians in Ephesus historically to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. I love that verse, because to walk worthy of the calling, first of all, it's exciting to think that God has called us specifically for Him, with specific qualities and gifts and experiences to be used for Him. God has called us, and He's saying, now walk worthy. Walking worthy means keep your Christian integrity. Be faithful and obedient and right with God, because if our Christian authenticity is questioned and invalid, our actions and words and deeds have very little effect. And so we must keep the two in consistency with one another, that we are right with God and we are yielding to the calling that God has called us to. In your filling, it says, there is no higher calling in life than to be called to represent Christ to the world by living our lives as Christ would have us to, walking and serving Him in peaceful unity and love with other believers. Now, I've heard Richard Blackaby, you know, he had said, as he goes and encourages churches around the world, you know, no greater calling there is for a pastor to preach Jesus to a group of people, no matter how small they are or how large they are. The privilege of being called to preach and teach Jesus is a great privilege. But having said that, we should not zero that in on just the pastor of a church, but all of us, what a privilege it is to represent Christ and to share Christ and to compel others, or to plant the seed of the gospel in people's hearts, that maybe they're come to ask Christ into the life as their personal Lord and Savior. So that insert, let me read that again. There is no higher calling in life than to be called to represent Christ Jesus to the world by living our lives as Christ would have us to, walking and serving Him in peaceful unity and love with other believers. We are to walk worthy, because when we walk worthy, it encourages us to stay in unity, which Paul endeavored and encouraged us to endeavor that unity, to pursue that. And when we do that, we know that to pursue unity and oneness in body, mind, and spirit under Christ our Lord, it's going to require effort. But that effort is only effective as we are dependent on Christ. Because we can't be the people of God, we can't behave the way God wants us to, we can't respond to situations the way God wants us to, we can't serve the way God wants us to, we can't be the people that God sees us as being except in and through Him. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And so, I want us to go on to Ephesians 4, 7 through 10. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended to the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fulfill or fill all things. You say, what is that all about? Well, this, we sang the song. What was it? What was that song that said, from heaven to earth, from the grave, across the grave, the grave to heaven. But then after that, he came back after he ascended to heaven. So he was sent from the Father to earth. He died on the cross. He went in the grave. And from the grave, He took captives captive, those that were believers in the Holy One, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ. We're waiting for Christ to complete his work on the cross. He went down into the earth, grabbed them, took them with him, went up to the Father in heaven, did what he was supposed to do there, and then he came back and he spread out gifts like a celebration. Like a celebration. The birth of the church is now taking place. And he's excited because we're the bride. And he came back and he gave us all gifts lavishly, just threw them out there, if you will, but not haphazardly, intentionally for each one of us to know and to use the gifts that he wants us to have. And he will continue to give those blessings as we continue to be the people that walk worthy of the calling that he's called us into. And so it's through Christ's gift to us that we can walk worthy and be in unity. His death and resurrection provided our salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us in life. We cannot be God's people. We cannot just simply put out a proclamation that I am a Christian because I'm not Jewish and I'm not atheist. We put out a statement that we're Christian, hopefully because we know Christ is our personal Lord and Savior. And we live by faith and not by sight. And we hold on to the promises and the power of God in and through our lives. And so God gave us this grace, the free, unmerited giving of God. No one deserves or has earned spiritual gifts. I haven't earned or merited being a pastor or preacher. If I had my way, I would have said no. Period. I'm not cut out for that, Lord. But God is always giving us stuff that we're not cut out for. Why does he do that? Because he wants to glorify his name. He wants to reveal his power that shows that he's working beyond who we are and that we can't take any credit for ourselves. Ephesians 4:11 and 12 says, and he himself gave some apostles and prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I was sharing with you that I would have chosen not to be a pastor. If God had told me when I first got saved, you're going to be a pastor, I would have run in a different direction. At least I think I would have, all right? Verse 11 says that he gave some apostles. Well, the apostles were those that were used of God to lay the foundations and to build the church. The foundations of the church. There are no more biblical apostles. They are no more. That was used in the first century church. He gave some prophets. And you might say, well, no more prophets. But there are no prophets that are going to prophesy that will add to the word of God. But there are those who will project and teach the word of God. One time when I was 18 or 19 years old, it's a little foggy, I was in a choir, probably not a good thing, and I came down off the, it was in Naranja Lakes, Florida, and came out of the choir loft, and this lady came up to me and she said, I need to talk to you. She's an elderly lady in the church. And she said, I just want to let you know that God's put on my heart to tell you that he's going to use you, so be ready. Because I was fine being just following him. Then he called me an associate ministry and so forth. But you have to understand something. For me to stand in front of people is not easy. Back then, if I had an oral report in high school or college, I always shook like a leaf. I always stuttered. I slurred my words. I have dyslexia. I have all these different things that are contending with me, and I'm terrified to be in front of people. And the truth is, I still am today. The only way that I am comfortable and being up here in front of you, obviously by the power of God, but if I can put the shield of God's word in front of me, then you're looking at God's word and it's your issue with God. And I'm just the one holding the shield of the word out, putting it out there. But if I'm up here trying to play my harp or stand in front and do something or give an oral report at our association or what have you, oh man, I would rather not. You see, so what I'm saying is that God has given gifts to us that we would not think that we would be given. We would certainly not think that we were worthy of, that we would obviously be reminded these are things I can't do. That's what identifies it as a spiritual gift, because God has given us something that is greater than who we are to reveal Him and His power in and through our lives. So He's given apostles and prophets and teachers, and in verse 12, to do what? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see Chuck Lorre, and you see Beth Moore, and you see Charles Stanley, and you see Billy Graham, his sons, I forgot his name, Franklin, thank you. And you see all these teachers and preachers, but the goal isn't that they're put there to help build the body of Christ up, but they're not the sole factor in building the body, because all of us are called to be involved in that. And there are more lists besides apostles and prophets and teachers as spiritual gifts, as we see in the book of Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But what's important is that we have been given gifts. You, me, all of us as believers have been given at least one gift, if not more gifts, upon the point of receiving Christ as our Savior. And that's exciting. That's exciting. Pursuing the calling and using those gifts are only exciting when we see God do His work through us beyond what we are capable of doing, and He receives the glory. But what are these things given for? Christ, through the Holy Spirit, gives us gifts to do something, to equip or prepare ourselves for the work of ministry and for edifying or building or instructing others in a way that improves their mind or character. And the first thing you're going to say in your mind is, I can't do that. That's not my job. But we can build each other up in faith by living out our faith. We can share our relationship with Christ with others that will help encourage others' faith. We can minister as God gives us our own abilities to minister and to reach out and to serve others that will build them up, or to be an example of using what God has given us. There's so many different ways. You don't have to be in a spotlight to be an effective teacher or encourager or builder or preacher. But as God's people united together in the Spirit of Christ in peace, lifting each other up, looking out for each other's needs above our own, caring for each other, loving each other, and being that light and witness to each other will build each other up. We've all been given gifts to do, to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the question that we always have to ask ourselves, are we doing that? Because I will tell you, when we do what God calls us to do, He's going to give us more to do. And in our flesh, we go, oh, great, not really, I don't want more. But in our spirit, if our spirit is seeking out that we know the blessing of serving God, using what God has given us, and we see the blessing of God working through us, and I don't mean to pick on Steve, but it was really a God thing. This morning he said, when you're sharing the gospel with Christ, if you've ever had the privilege of seeing them and leading a person to pray the sinner's prayer to receive Christ, what a blessing that is. But I will also say, sharing Christ with people that even reject the gospel, knowing that you're dependent on the power of God to do it, and you know God is doing it through you, is remarkable and a blessing in of itself. And so when we see the blessings that God does on our lives and through our lives, when we're faithful with what He gives us to do in our own uniqueness, we should be excited about the more. Amen. The more. He's given us these gifts to do ministry, to help one another. And we have to ask ourselves, are we doing that? Are we doing the work of the ministry? Are we helping to equip each other in our church or in the church? We all have a specific job to do and a specific role to play in the development of others. God will connect us with individuals. God will use us in our own unique ways to minister to each other. God will use our commonalities with each other, but oftentimes it's simply the Holy Spirit that brings us together and not our commonalities. We all have a specific job to do and a specific role to play in the development of others. Let's read Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 3 again. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We're all humble, with gentle with each other, long-suffering with each other, bearing, enduring one another in love. That last one is probably the toughest one. You know what that's translated to me in? The one that irritates you the most. Be long, be enduring. The one that you conflict, you know, just what, but God's saying, look, you know, bear with one another in what? In love. Love will enable us to endure the challenge. Love is the key. Love is the key. Everything we do in ministry or when we are helping others to grow in the Lord should be done in love, humbly, gently, and patiently. If we do anything outside of love, it is not counted by God. How do I know that? Solomon said, anything, he wrote in Ecclesiastes, anything that is done without love is vain. God wrote that. If you do anything outside of love, it's in vanity. Vanity, being empty, worthless. But if you do things in love, a right heart with God, that heart of integrity before the Lord, a heart that's not about self, but about Christ and others. If we truly love and are humble and gentle and patient with one another, then we are doing what is hard to do, but we're encouraged to endeavor the pursuit of the unity of the Spirit of Christ amongst the body of believers. That takes effort. Hence the title of the message, Masterpiece in Progress, or the effort, right? And so we need to be aware of that. Everything we do in ministry or when we are helping others to grow in the Lord should be done in love, humbly, gently, and patiently. Because when we do that, we're helping each other grow in the Lord. You have a brand new Christian that's got some habits or ways that are not Christ-like. You don't walk up with pompous arrogance and say, knock it off, per se. In other words, you don't go in there and say, we're going to clean up your act now, let's hear it out. That's not love. If there's an issue going on, and you know, you can say that's really dangerous, you can say, look, you need to be aware of this, but if you approach humbly with love, there's a big difference, because that authentic love makes an impact. Ephesians 4, 13 through 16 says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or complete or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the completeness of Christ in our lives, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, easily passed back and forth, but able to stand strong, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined. That's God's desire. That's the next thing in the masterpiece of work. Joining all those unique colors, joining all those unique qualities, and all those individuals and all the individual gifts together, joining us together, right? From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, each one has its important factor to supply to the body of Christ according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body. For what reason? The edifying of itself in love. We are not to use our gifts independently within the church family. We are to use our gifts to build each other up and to encourage unity. You know and I know the human body has all sorts of intricate parts, but if one part's not working, something's suffering. And the body of the church is the same way. If we're not all working together, that's a big picture. We've all got gifts. We've all been called. We're all challenged to do these things. We're all been challenged to pursue each other in love and unity in the Spirit of Christ. We're all called to connect with each other, fitly joined together, knitted together for a purpose to have a solid functioning body that brings glory to God. So all of us are called of God to do what he has called us to do, to contribute what he has for us to do. We all are to equip others to help them not be easily deceived by evil people and to learn how to be mature in Christ and follow his leadership. Helping babes in Christ grow to maturity and us growing more in Christ and helping everybody grow more in Christ, because it's an ongoing process this side of heaven. Verse 16 emphasizes that every part does its share. In love, all body parts, that's all believers, do their share of the work to cause growth in others for the benefit of the entire body. I think that's pretty specific. Pretty specific. That God spoke through the Apostle Paul. He gave us instructions regarding the use of our gifts. And we have a responsibility to know the word, to be in the word, and to use the word so that we can love and inspire and encourage and teach and correct others. And if we're not in the word, if we're not, we won't grow, and we can't help others to grow. A large part of Christians are not in the word, but we need to be in the word. We have the responsibility to use those gifts that God has given us to help others grow. Many of you have this gift in the church, the gift of helps. Debbie is an example. She's going, oh boy. this is a good thing. That Debbie uses her gifts to drive people to the doctor's office or to be there at the hospital with them. She has a gift of helps and a gift of hospitality, all of which she uses for God. You see, all of us see these things, and we may not see the spotlight positions, but all of us have the callings and the gifts and are equipped to be the people that he wants us to be. We have other gifts that are found in 1 Corinthians 12:28 and Romans 12, obviously. And let me just add a real side point real quickly. If you don't know your spiritual gift or gifts, there is a spiritual gift test that you can take that might illuminate and help you to see where your aptitude is spiritually and those gifts that you can begin as a springboard to help you to grow in the Lord. And just ask Kathy and I for that. Ask God to open your eyes. Ask God to show you opportunities that you can use the gifts that you have to help others grow and then continue to follow him how he leads you. That last statement we're going to close basically with is that we continue to follow him as he leads us. Do not be afraid of that. Because the fullness of Christ is in him. And he'll keep building us and layering upon us to make us that masterpiece collectively as well with the body of Christ. Walk worthy of the calling which you were called and help God build the effect in his masterpiece. You see the picture? Where's that other picture, Kath? Yeah, thank you. There's an effect there to be seen. If that was flat, you wouldn't have the awareness of that three-dimensional application. And that's the next layer that God can be working in our lives to build us up to have a greater effect for the glory of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. The body of Christ, the gifts that you've given, the challenge you laid before us are all tremendous blessings and challenge, but all accessible and attainable through you, Lord Jesus, as we rely on you and your Spirit to do your work in and through our lives. So I ask, Father, please, your help us to blend more, to be knitted closer together, to be jointly fitted to where our uniqueness, as you've called us and made us and given us, can flow freely into the body of Christ, that collectively we can become that much more of what you've called us to be in our own lives, but as a church, as a body of believers, that the effectiveness of the call of ministry on each of our lives will become clear and powerful and glorifying to you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.